This morning, I have to tell all of you something. I have a heart condition. I'm guessing you all are sincerely worried about me. Mine is a spiritual heart condition. However, the truth is, everybody's heart is in some condition. The human heart is an organ that pumps blood. And did you know that your heart beats about 100,000 times a day? 35 million times a year. That's a lot of work. The heart is a subject that has been talked about since the beginning of time. Songs, stories, poems have been written for many a broken-hearted person. The Bible is full of many references about the heart. So I want to talk about it from a spiritual standpoint. So we're going to cover some of the conditions of the heart. But in order for the life of Christ to flow through us, our heart has to be in good working order. The first condition of the heart is an angry heart. Anger says that you owe me. Have you ever heard of anger management? Well, it is really a joke, isn't it? Because what we're trying to do is control our anger. We're managing our anger. Ephesians 4 calls for us to get rid of all bitterness, wrath, anger, slander, malice. It's a pretty tall order of things we have to get rid of. How about a hopeless heart? You can only be angry for so long. Eventually, we get sick and tired. In other words, hope delayed makes the heart sick. A hard heart. A hard heart does not hear encouragement and it doesn't hope anymore. This condition makes it extremely difficult for us to have that childlike faith. We're unable to love or receive love in the right way. I could sit and talk about this heart condition for a long time. Thinking back about my life, things and people that I have allowed in that have made me hard. A greedy heart. Greed is shown not how you feel, but what you do. Greed is not a feeling. It's a refusal to act. And Tina's going to share with us, I think, in 1 Chronicles. Ooh, I threw you for a loop. I'm sorry. She is so sweet. She said that she would read today. I think that I like that. I appreciate you doing that. 1 Chronicles 29:11.
Okay. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all.
Yeah. Amen. How about a jealous heart? What does a jealous heart say? That says that we're not satisfied with what God has given us. The Bible tells us to be content with what we have. If we become more like Jesus and less like ourselves, we can combat jealousy. A guilty heart. We're going to read, Tina's going to read from 1 John 1:9, and we probably could all repeat this one from memory, but she's going to read it for us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Repentance is the only way that we can deal with a guilty heart. A proud heart. Pride is an independent spirit, and it's all about me attitude. I have to come first. I don't care about you. I have to come first. We should be quick to remember that it's not about us. It's all about him. A judgmental heart. A judgmental heart or a critical spirit is not difficult to recognize. You can see its fruit pretty quickly. I guess we could call it complaining. Matthew 7 says, "Judge not that you be not judged." A critical spirit knows that they cannot live up to their own standards. They're always judging others and themselves, but they're always coming up short every single time. And Christ knows that there is a lack there and a gap, and he can fill it if we'll let him fill it. So the more we understand his grace, then the more gracious we can be, because we cannot do it on our own. And last but not least, the hypocritical heart. So I have to confess, I've had this heart condition too. Yes, I've been hypocritical. There have been times where I've said one thing and done another. So if I said I have never had or don't ever intend to have this heart condition, then I'm a hypocrite. So ask yourself this question: have I ever been a hypocrite? The truth of Christianity is that we all are. And that is why we need Jesus. That's why he came and he died for us. I pray that we can open our church doors with a sign that says, "Welcome all, hypocrites included." We all are loved, we're all accepted, and we're all forgiven here at Bethel United Methodist Church. So just as it is with your physical heart, we shouldn't wait until all the damage is done. We need a spiritual checkup. And there's an easy way for us to do that no matter where we are, and it's a scripture that we all know. It's Mark 12:30. Do I love God with all my heart? Do I love God with all my soul? Do I love God with all my mind? And do I love God with all my strength? What's left? Nothing. He requires that we love him with everything that we have and that we are. So we're going to read a little bit about what Paul says to Corinth, and it's in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. And it's kind of a long passage, so if you get lost, it's okay. We're going to talk about it.
So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
So Paul was urging the community in Corinth to expand their vision to see everything as becoming new. This kind of seeing moves us beyond what our eyes can see. Humanity tends to focus on what's broken, what's limiting, what is imperfect in ourselves and in the world. What if we were able to see through Jesus' eyes instead of our own? Jesus was able to see through all the walls, barriers, separations. He poured his life out so that his love would conquer all. I pray that during this message that you're going to be able to let the vision of your heart be widened this morning. So I want us just to kind of dig into the passage. You might think, how much more is there? But this is the last part, and it's a glue, it's cement. It will put it all together for us. So bear with me as I attempt to weave through it. Reconciliation is a big word. So what's the definition? What does it mean? It means to restore a right relationship. It means to bring into agreement. It means to let go of our old ways. Paul knew this better than anyone. That reconciliation began in his heart and in his relationship with his Heavenly Father. His life story is one of being redeemed, a testimony that no one is beyond the saving grace of God. He is the God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. Paul was saved and transformed by that grace, and so he gladly said, "Yes, Lord, I will be your servant." On the road to Damascus, Saul, as he was called then, was caught by a bright light, and it blinded him. How sweet is that to think that that light that blinded him came into him to shine for other people. That bright light of reconciliation saved him and propelled him to travel all around the nations sharing God's word. All that knew him before experienced a new creature when they saw him after he had given his life to Christ. So how can we experience reconciliation? Well, we got to get right with God. Number two, we got to get right with our brothers and our sisters. And that's not just in our family. That is everybody that we meet that comes across our path. Because our broken ties with other people sever that relationship, but also severs our relationship with the Lord. In Matthew 5:23-24, we're going to read a little bit about that relationship.
Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, in there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift.
That's a hard thing for us, because sometimes we want the other person to come to us to say, "You did me wrong. Tina, I don't appreciate what you hurt me." It takes a big person to admit that they're wrong. But if we want to have a relationship with the Lord, we're supposed to be in harmony with everyone that is in our path. And sometimes that takes years to do. But the Lord calls us to do that. That takes me to the fourth point. We got to be intentional about it. We can't just say we're going to do it. We have to be intentional about it. Here's an example. I fall and I break my arm. Well, I got to have the initiative to get in the car and let Travis drive me to the doctor. I can't stay at home with the broke arm, right? Well, I guess I could. So they're going to put a cast on it. And they're going to put a cast on it because they want the healing to start taking place so it can mend itself back together. Well, broken relationships, like a broken arm, does not get well by accident. When we ignore the pain of a broken relationship or our broken arm, no healing takes place. We're stuck. We may think we're okay, but we're not okay. We're going to go back. We deal with all those conditions of the heart. And don't think that it won't happen to you, because it will happen to you. It may seem real innocent at first, but you're going to have one condition and then another condition and another condition. And before long, you're so numb, you don't even feel anymore. Have you ever heard time heals all wounds? That's not true. It simply does not. It requires action to be done on purpose. It requires action to be done on purpose. Reconciliation must be covered in prayer. And reconciliation demands humility. Simply said, admitting you're wrong. I'm going to bury the hatchet once and for all. Or swallowing your pride. James 4:6 says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It involves letting go so you can move forward, not stay where you are. Forgiveness is required when reconciling a broken relationship. Reconciliation is finished in restitution. So, repentance without restitution is like faith without works. When we think about the life that Paul lived before he was touched by the Lord on the road to Damascus, he was a pretty rough character. He was a pretty rough character. So, the human part of us does not understand how God could forgive him for all that he committed, all of those he had harmed, all of those he had killed. But God had mercy on him. And Paul committed his life to the Lord. And he encouraged us to do the same thing when we read that in 2 Corinthians. He's called us to be ambassadors. So in closing, today I ask God to give us a new heart. I ask him to help us humble ourselves and allow the grace of God to revive our hearts. To accept God once and for all, and for him to breathe healing life into our souls, and for him to have his way in our lives. The Lord wants us to be fully reconciled. He wants us to be fully renewed. He wants us to be fully restored in his love and his grace.